And welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest in world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer, and I am so glad you are with us today. And Austin, it's so good to have you with me today. Your mom and I had fun on a show last night, and we had two more hours with Dave Hodges last night, and that was a blast. So a lot of information went out this weekend, and a lot of you guys have contacted Health Masters because of those shows over the weekend, and thank you so much for doing so. We really appreciate the support. Hi, Austin. What do you want to do with your first story there, buddy?
Well, I want to address it. Have you discussed the asset forfeiture reform bill in Florida yet?
I have not. I saw that on the news this morning, and so, yes, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Yes, for everybody's in Florida, as you know, we're in Florida, so this is definitely greatly a very positive story for us. I have gone over repeated stories in all kinds of different states about the asset forfeiture reform bills that a lot of states are doing now. Just a short cover-up if you guys have not, if you don't know anything about it. Civil asset forfeiture currently allows law enforcement to seize and keep property even if the owner's never convicted or charged with a crime. And under existing Florida law right now, cash, cars, and other property can be seized and kept by police if police merely suspect it could have been used in a crime. The property owner must then either negotiate to get a small portion of the property back or pursue a lengthy and expensive process in court, a lot of times spending more money than what was even
stolen.
Forfeited as far as what was stolen. Yeah, stolen is the better word for it. Well, Friday, Florida Governor Rick Scott signed Bill SB 1044 in the law, which enacts a significant overhaul of the state's civil forfeiture laws. The bill passed both the Florida Senate and the House, and it creates massive transparency requirements and a long list of new protections for property owners. They've already said now this is the first step in the reform bill in Florida. They want to pass another one after a year of this to see how affecting, basically how positive effect this has, and to add even more restrictions on law enforcement next year. Florida office managing attorney Justin Pearson said this is a significant first step towards ending civil forfeiture in Florida. It is one of the most serious assaults on private properties in America, and SB 1044 increases protection for innocent property owners in the Sunshine State. And what goes on here is he says a lot of the new key points on it, it requires law enforcement to actually make a full arrest before seizing property, including vehicles, which is a huge deal. I've never understood how the fact they can seize something and not even charge you with a crime and say, well, we think you were involved in some type of illicit behavior. That's how you acquired this vehicle, so we're going to seize it. You can come to court and sue us back for it. Increasing the evidentiary standard to forfeit property from clear and convincing evidence to beyond a reasonable doubt, the same standard required for criminal convictions. What that means is before, the way they could do it is clear and convincing evidence, which is really quite, they can come up with any way they want. Law enforcement can skew reports, they can do false testimonies, they can do false depositions if they want. Beyond a reasonable doubt, which is obviously, that means beyond a reasonable doubt, there is no other chance. That is the same standard required for a criminal conviction. That's what has to be brought to light in order to have a forfeiture. Now, also, I like this, they're requiring law enforcement to pay a $1,500 bond directly out of the law enforcement budget at the beginning of the forfeiture action. This bond will automatically be paid to the property owner if the property owner is indeed innocent. What this means is now the law enforcement officers are going to have to cough up $1,500 out of their budget of their police department every time they do a forfeiture, just to basically file the forfeiture in the system. What this will do is this will prevent these guys from just randomly doing forfeitures on people that did nothing wrong. $1,500 doesn't sound like much. However, you start doing 30, 40, 50, 60 forfeitures a week, now all of a sudden the local law enforcement, the sheriff's department, starts to have coughing up a significant amount of cash in order to process these, and then the person's automatically awarded that $1,500 back immediately on top of their property if they are found not guilty. That's at least a good start. Now, also, too, they'll be creating new reporting and transparency requirements. I did not know this. Under current law, law enforcement agencies are not required to report forfeitures to the state. They only have to report them, obviously, in their local law enforcement jurisdiction, their sheriff's department, police department. And also, too, they will have the availability of attorney's fees awarded to innocent property owners as well, which is awesome. That means if you sink $20,000 in an attorney to get your stuff back, you will be awarded all the attorney fees back if you were found not guilty. Whereas before, it didn't matter even if you won, you still had to eat the attorney's fees even if you were found not guilty. So I'm really excited about this. We brought this up numerous times, and we brought it up all kinds of legislation in Florida, and I'm really glad they're doing this now because that was a massive invasion of our civil rights, and this is a big step in Florida, so I'm pretty excited.
Well, you know, Austin, this is something that's so unfair. I mean, they don't even have to charge you with a crime. They can just take your stuff right now. And they can just say, well, we think you were doing something wrong, so give us your stuff, and we're going to leave you on the side of the road. We'll call you a taxi or whatever. We're taking the car. We're taking your stuff. We're taking your motorhome. We're taking your house. We're taking everything. And, you know, I don't think it should be a $1,500 bond. It should be a $15,000 bond. You know, and that, because $1,500 won't cover any kind of legal fees at all. But I believe that, you know, $15,000 bond will make a huge difference. $15,000 a bond per incident will pretty much stop this crap. And, it's just ridiculous that it's going on. I have a friend of mine whose kid was smoking pot at his house. And I told him, I said, dude, you don't understand. If you get caught, if this kid gets caught smoking pot at your house is paid for. There's a possibility if the cop wants to do it because of drug forfeiture laws, they can take your home and take your cars that are in their garage. They take everything. And you're going to have to fight them to get the stuff back. I remember years ago, Bank of America here in Florida, Austin, they actually foreclosed on a home that a builder had built. It was a $1 million home. The guy had built it over a period of time, paid cash for it as he was going, was living in it for years, and because of the mortgage fraud that happened and all the paperwork mess that was going on, somehow someone had put a mortgage on this property that never had a mortgage on it, nobody had ever signed off on it, and the bank came in and seized his home. Took it. Just took it. And he goes, well, this is my house. I don't have a mortgage on it. We don't care. You got to get out. So the cops came in and evicted him through the courts. And then a guy got the court case, got it back, got a new judge, and then, you know, wanted his house back. They refused to give him the house back. Finally, the judge signed a court order that they were going to go to Bank of America and open up their vaults and take the money out to get the house back or pay the guy for the house. And at that point in time, Bank of America could turn the house back over. I mean, these banks and these corporate entities and these police agencies have gotten so bad in the United States, they feel they're completely and totally above the law, because the vast majority of the people who they inflict this type of behavior on simply don't have the money to hire an attorney, because the attorneys are so expensive. I know we have a good attorney here in Winter Haven. I mean, his name's Ligoria, one of the best there is in the state, actually. And his minimum fee that he charges just to listen to you and take your case is $5,000 just to hear it. And I mean, that, and that's payable up front in advance. You get a free consultation for 30 minutes, and then you don't talk to him again until you give him $5,000. And see, most people simply can't do that. They don't have that type of liquidity where they can go in and do that. So, yes, it's a great, great law. I'm glad Rick Scott signed it. I hope it gets stronger and stronger and this forfeiture stuff stops. All it is a way for the municipalities to steal your stuff. That's what it is. It's forced taxation without representation. It's basically it's a seizure via a gun with no say-so. But if you try to stop the police officer and tell him he can't do it, then they'll arrest you then they'll charge you with resisting arrest. You know, or you argue with them, they'll charge you for improper police filing, or they'll charge you whatever they want to charge you with and give you a criminal record. I mean, the police in the United States, about 20% of them, have gotten completely and totally out of control and corrupt. The other 80% are good people, like the military. The vast majority of the people in the military are great people. Just some of the higher-up officers that are controlled by the CIA are bad. Here's another interesting article that I saw today. Now, one top mental guy is actually advising that people start taking LSD to start breaking Facebook addiction. I didn't just make that up. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is an article by Seaborn. And it just said, unbelievable that they're actually recommending 10 micrograms of LSD in the morning. And it says the Facebook addiction will leave by the second day. I mean, are you kidding me? So they're microdosing you with LSD now to get rid of Facebook addictions. I don't even know where you even get LSD. I thought that was illegal. I mean, what kind of crazy country that we live in now that they're recommending LSD and microdosing to get rid of Facebook addictions? My response to that is, why don't you just not turn the computer on for a couple of days and break yourself of the addiction? Because remember, again, when you're doing all of this stuff, and the same thing with video games, when you're playing the video games all the time, or you're constantly looking at this stuff, and this is dopamine triggers. Every time you do this to your brain, and so you get really addicted to watching this stuff. For me, it's part of what I do now for my show every day, so it's not much fun at this point. It's what I have to do the show and be current on the news. So when I'm off this news thing that I do every day, Austin, I pretty much don't want to even turn the computer on again. I'm done with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure as soon as you leave the office, you're pretty much done with it too. And it's just because otherwise what happens, this stuff becomes all-inclusive and it starts overtaking your life.
Yes, there's no question about it.
So what's your next story?
The funny part about it is, too, is that, if somebody has a serious addiction with something, the easiest thing to do, if you don't have a significant business that you're running out of your house, have your internet turned off for a month. Have them put it on hold or freeze it. Tell them you're going to be out of town. They'll do that. Bright House will do that. If you're going to be out of town for a month, say, I need to put my account on hold. They won't charge you. They'll cut everything off on your internet and go 30 days without internet. Or cut it off on your phone. You know, it's not that difficult to do. You definitely don't need to start taking scheduled one, you know, drugs that I didn't, like you said, I didn't even know that was legal to possess or acquire.
I don't even know where you get
it. So I don't know how they're getting away with that.
I know the CIA was using it for mind control experiments back in the 50s and the 60s. And they were pushing it on college campuses as a brain entrainment drug. And now they're pushing it to get rid of Facebook addiction. I mean, I don't even know where you find stuff like that. I don't want to know where you find stuff like that. So don't send me any suggestions if you guys know. I don't want to know. All right, here's another article. Hacker explains how to rig an election. This is interesting.
Wow.
This is by Sean Ada Tabada in News World, and it's basically a Colombia hacker named Andres Sepulveda has revealed to the U.S. media how easy it is to rig the presidential elections after having hacked political rivals to engineer results in elections across 9 Latin American countries. He is currently serving a 10-year prison sentence after being caught for hacking into the Colombian 24 presidential race. He says, perhaps the most ostentatious allegation he makes is that he was paid to ensure Mexico's Institutional Revolutionary Party candidate, Peña Nieto, won the country's election in 2012. He claims that he was given $600,000 to ensure the victory and assembled a team of hackers to make it happen. The team, he says, installed router malware at the headquarters of the PRI's main components and used that to tap into phones and computers in the buildings. With this link established, you could read campaign schedules and speeches before they were even finished and read confidential emails between campaign team members. He then used both fake and handwritten accounts and an army of 30,000 Twitter bots using this confidential information to give his candidate the upper hand. Other tactics allegedly involved during the campaign include faking robocalls, which we know that Ted Cruz already did that. He also acknowledges that he's worked with the PR candidates for 16 years, but now he's been incarcerated, and he was hired and paid as a hacker to do all of this. Now, also, what he's not talking about and what we have in the United States is the ability to hack into the Diebold election machines and actually change the actual count. After the 2000 disaster with George Bush, the retarded one, the young one, we basically ended up in a situation where, you know, they did not want to have hanging chads and ballots to recount again. And so we ended up in a situation where they decided to go to the electronic machines here in Florida, which is actually quite awful because a lot of precincts don't even keep paper ballots off, and it's all on machines. And so now they can pretty much do whatever they want to do with the elections. It's sad. And, you know, it's now the Republican, you know, the party is saying that, you know, that we've never had the right to even elect our own officials, and that the whole thing for the primaries and the election is just show. And now that, you know, they're going to decide on who's going to be the president, and it's all show for us. So, I mean, if the American population don't realize what's going on here, they're never going to wake up. Alex Jones is calling for a 5 million man march into Detroit for the Republican National Convention. That's okay. I mean, I think we need to do that. The problem with that is there are no hotel rooms to house that many people. It's not going to happen. You can't have hotel rooms. I don't know where you're going to sleep in your car. I don't know what you're going to do. Nobody's thinking about the logistics of that, unless it's going to be a day in the convention where everybody drives in. But then how do you unload that many cars, Austin, and where do you find parking for 5 million people? I don't know. I mean,
well, you'd gridlock. Yeah, you'd gridlock some.
I don't know how to logistically do that. I think if he'd have called for a million man march, you know, he may have gotten that. But luckily, he probably won't get a 5 million anyhow. Because I mean, you know, there aren't enough Starwood properties up there. Yeah, Point properties that people are going to go up there and stay for days on end for the Republican National Convention and be out on the street. And basically have no housing. And where are you going to eat? I mean, where are you going to go? How are you going to park the cars? I mean, all kinds of stuff. I mean, this thing's got to be massively coordinated with huge amounts of trains coming in and planes coming in and mass transit coming in to bring that many people into a downtown area. But I know what he's saying. He wants them to know that they're not going to steal the election. So
yeah.
More power to you. If you guys can make it up there, go ahead and go and have fun with all that.
I think there'll be a large portion that shows up, but I think he's kind of doing, you know, the same thing that we've talked about before. You know, if you're shooting for a number, you know, you might as well try and double the number or triple the number and make your goal even higher. He knows that 5 million people, there's probably no way that many people are going to show up. It's probably honestly going to be more along the line of 5 or 10,000 people that may show up, which even that show of force would still be substantial. But yeah, 5 million people is definitely probably not a realistic goal. But if he's going to shoot big, you might as well shoot big. I mean, if we're at it, we might as well say, you know, 50 million people.
Well, I think he'll do better than that. I think he'll get several hundred thousand. I think he'll bet about 200,000 people.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. But the problem is the mainstream media will underreport it and say there were 2,000. They're not going to. They're never ever going to admit that many people marched on Detroit. They're not going to admit it. They're not going to do it. They're going to say 2,000 people showed up, and they'll show a picture of three people in line. You know, that's what they're going to do. And oh, by the way, the rest of them are sitting in the parking lot out back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and so they're not going to show the massive crowds like that. Because remember, the mainstream media has been bought and paid for, and they simply don't show stuff that's not going to be conducive to what their agenda is. What's your next story, Oz?
They could skew it, too. They could skew it like they like to do, show a large group of the people, but then say that they're anti-Trump protesters.
Mostly the Bernie Sanders people. That's right.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's no way they can really, you know, verify that. This is an interesting article. I actually got it last week. It was the vaccine insert from the FDA that was on one of the whooping cough vaccines, the Tripedia. Now, this vaccine is no longer actually being used. The Tripedia DTaP vaccine was approved in 96. And it contains thimerosal, aluminum, and formaldehyde. The thimerosal has now been removed out of the new version, the new DTaP version. But what's interesting to me is they've now come out now. Somebody picked this up on this because nobody ever noticed it. Is that the Tripedia was supposed to be administered in 5 doses between 6 weeks and 7 years of age, and in 2005 it was updated stating that autism was a reported side effect. It had a whole laundry list of stuff like they do of potential side effects, and buried right in the middle of them was flat out autism on the information sheet that came in the box with this. Now the new version of the DTaP does not show that on there anymore, which I think that's interesting. But other good news that I've heard, I got a phone call today from a customer, and his son actually went up to New York to go see the Vax showing. And apparently they had a very, very good turnout so far. I mean, it's only planned, I think, for 5 days. A lot of people are going up there to see it. And apparently his son was not that awake with stuff since the media publicity started on the show. He wasn't that far away, so he decided he was going to drive up there and see it. And he said it utterly shook his son up. He said he didn't even know how to talk about it. He said it was so eye-opening and so mind-boggling that he didn't even know how to respond. He said he didn't even call him up for a couple hours after he saw it because he wasn't even sure on how to think of everything at that point. And I haven't seen the video. I have a feeling it's going to be out online here shortly. It's probably going to be thrown up on YouTube for free just for the publicity and the people who want to see it. But I thought that was interesting now, though, that it is being seen up there. It is having a big following, and a lot of people are saying that it's an eye-opening movie, especially for individuals that have never really heard of the serious anti-vaccine movement and what we're trying to do. So I thought that was pretty cool, though, that it's getting some movement up there.
Well, and what they're doing is because of Thompson, because he's the one who actually did the cover-up, and he's admitting to it. You know, he's actually admitting to it, going on camera and saying, hey, look, I did this. You know, we got around a bucket of a garbage can, and we threw away documents, and we wanted to make sure that it didn't show the black American boys. I mean, where are the Black Lives Matter people, Austin? Where are the Black Lives Matter? I'm going to say it again. Where are you, Black Lives Matter? This was a complete and total fabrication that was showing that black boys got autism from these shots. And now there are no black. There are no. Why are the Black Lives Matter people not rioting and picketing the country, forcing this movie to be seen?
Yeah.
Do Black Lives not matter when it comes to autism? Does that not matter? I mean, you know, there we go. I mean, you know, is it okay to do it because the cops shoot somebody? But how about all the thousands and thousands of black boys now, if not hundreds of thousands, have been diagnosed with, you know, autism because of this shot? I mean, where are the parents? I mean, where's Al Sharpton? Where's Jesse Jackson? You know, where are these boys? You know, where are these guys? I mean, you know, where are they? I mean, why are they not screaming and yelling? Well, I'll be honest with you, because it's not going to get the media attention. That's why they're not doing it. If they can't get media attention and nobody wants to talk about it, it's already been hushed up. They're not going to talk about it. Or they don't know. One of the two, they don't know. A lot of them may simply not know. But I tell you what, this thing needs to get out there and everybody needs to be talking about it. I hope and I pray, Austin, that not only that it goes viral online, but it's released in limited release in movie theaters throughout the United States. And at that point, that a major distribution company picks it up and it starts going all over the United States in distribution, and everybody has the opportunity to see this. Because if 4 or 5 or 10 or 20 million people see this, it will change everything. It will. It'll change everything.
Oh, yeah.
But if 1 or 2 million see it, it will make a bit of difference. It'll just be the conspiracy theory guys again.
It will. It will. They need to try and get Netflix to pick it up.
That's exactly right. Here's another one. Common antibiotics have been found to cause delirium and other brain disorders. You know, I've talked to you guys so many times about our healthy immune system protocol, and I tell you what, if you could do anything to avoid antibiotics, it's better. Because now we're finding out that side effects of just antibiotics are basically delirium and other brain disorders. And they found that on 391 patients who developed brain delirium and other brain problems after having been given antibiotics, the problems appeared to have been widespread, with 54 kinds of antibiotics from 12 classes involved. The antibiotics utilized in the patient studies include intravenous types such as penicillin, as well as those commonly provided in oral form. Nearly half, or about 47%, of the people taking these antibiotics had hallucinations or delusions. 14% reportedly had seizures, 15% showed muscle twitching, and 5% lost some degree of control over their movements. I mean, this is insane. 70% of the cases had abnormal EEG tests. Once the antibiotic treatments were stopped, the brain disorders also stopped. Findings of the review were published on the online issue of the medical journal Neurology. I mean, this is crazy. Delirium is a serious issue, Austin, particularly with the elderly. Delirium and related brain disorders due to medications such as common antibiotics can cause serious complications, particularly in the elderly. I remember years ago when my mom was in the nursing home, she had a bladder infection, and they started giving her antibiotics. And, of course, this was all because my sister, the medical doctor, can't think through a paper bag that's soaked in water, decided to go ahead and approve of all this, and they gave her all this horribly high dose for bladder infection antibiotics. And she started becoming delirious, and I started having hallucinations. I mean, she believed that my brother Carl was on the next bed over from her. I mean, are you believing this? I mean, she was seeing stuff, and she was completely and totally convinced, Austin, that he was there. I mean, the craziest thing you've ever seen, and it was all because of the antibiotics they had given her. So I believe this study. I believe this is very, very accurate. It causes a lot of problems, especially when you start doing those high-dose antibiotics, and especially when you start doing the intravenous antibiotics, because a lot of that stuff gets pushed all around and throughout the whole, you know, area of the central nervous system. And I don't know how in the world it affects the blood-brain barrier. But what do you think about that? Isn't that crazy?
Well, that is crazy. I didn't realize it was that severe. I know we're starting to see a lot of issues with gut microbial and digestion and antibiotic resistance, but now this comes up. It's just another reason why you really don't want to use antibiotics unless it's a last-ditch effort, essentially, and you get some type of serious infection. But the problem is now we're seeing the antibiotics are used so frequently for minor, minor, minor things that shouldn't even be used with antibiotics. That's why we recommend people all the time, you know, just a basic dose of, you know, colloidal silver, vitamin C, and D3 are a really, really good way to keep your immune system strong and prevent any type of infection like that from getting worse. And that's just basic stuff like that. Antibiotics need to be, they really need to be last resort, guys. I've seen it way too much. I get way too many phone calls every week about people that have been on antibiotics for just insignificant things, and it causes way too many long-term health issues. And now this comes up, and it makes me want to take them even less if there's ever an issue.
Well, no, it's exactly right. In fact, here's another article. It says, gut bacteria triggers physical illness and physiological and psychological disorders. Another one on the same topic. And it says that the gut microbial microbes play an important role in every aspect of your health, not just in your gut health, but also in your digestive well-being along with brain function. Apparently, yep, all of this stuff is connected directly into the brain. And when you start having these organs, yep, get messed up because of antibiotics, your brain starts getting out of whack. And so the same thing is so true. I mean, if you had past infections, or if you were breastfed, or if you had antibiotics on a regular basis, all of this affects what's going on in your brain. And some people say it can actually affect your own DNA. It says that, and this article goes on to say that unbalanced microbiome can actually cause physical illnesses. And so, I mean, this is some crazy stuff. It's talking about the metabolic syndrome, type 2 diabetes, inflammatory bowel disease, autoimmunity, carcinogenesis, insulin resistance, impaired glucose metabolism. I mean, this list goes on and on and on of all the side effects that are being done when you start messing with your gut microbiome. That's why I urge you to go to healthmasters.com and order our Acidophilus product, which is way, way more than that. It's got a bunch of different strains in it, and it's phenomenal to help restore this gut microbial. And also, start go to your health food store and get some kefir, which is real good for your gut, for gut microbial. Make sure it's organic. If you can't handle the dairy products, you can get some kombucha, which is also another type of product that basically has been fermented. It's really, really good for your gut by bacteria. Also, psychological disorders have been linked to bad stomach bacteria. And like I talked about last night on the show, a lot of the psychological orders are also linked to B vitamins, especially folate, that your body, about 50% of you guys out there are listening right now, you've lost the ability genetically to make folate in your body even when you're given B vitamins. And what ends up happening is it affects you from a neurological standpoint, causing severe problems with depression. And again, Health Master's B vitamins are all methylated, so you don't have to worry about that. It passes through that phase, so the body's able to utilize them and actually break them, allows them to go to the brain. So, yeah, so you got to definitely stay healthy with this stuff. What's your next story, Oz?
Next one, this is interesting. We've seen this happen in a few states now. Now, legislation has been approved, and looks like Governor Jerry Brown out in California will be signing it today for the minimum wage to be bumped up to $15 an hour out in California now over the next couple of years. It's going to be raised up in incremental plans. I think they want to have it at $15 an hour by like 2020, somewhere right around there, 2022. But with everybody's off the up and all, oh yeah, it's $15 an hour, woohoo. The problem is we've discussed this numerous times, so I'm not going to go into great detail of it again. But everybody that's a huge proponent of this, you guys have to understand, because this starts to happen, California's already very expensive. Raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour is not going to do anything but make the cost of living go up substantially, more likely to the point that it will actually cost you more than if the raise was not introduced. The reason why is small businesses, specifically restaurants, cannot afford to hire people at these rates that have very little background or very little experience. You're telling me that an 18-year-old or a 16-year-old in high school is going to start at McDonald's now flipping burgers, is going to start out at $15 an hour. I think my math on that, I think that's what, it should be what, 32.5 a year, I think? Oh, my calculator in front of me.
What was 600 a week, so 600, yeah, about that. It's over 30,000 a year.
Yeah. You're talking, that's the minimum wage now? Well, the problem is the people that are already at that rate, I mean, what are they going to do? Now everybody below them that has no job skills is going to be ramped up to their pay. And so there's no choice to keep the good working people in those jobs. They're going to have to get a bump way above $15 an hour, or else they're not going to stay. They can get a job anywhere for that price. So the cost of everything, the cost of food, transport, everything goes up.
Well, the biggest problem are the illegals in California that rely on the social welfare state, who get $35,000 a year in food stamps, government housing, Obama phones, free health care, all this other stuff. And what they've learned now is that it's easier not to work and get the money from the state and have your anchor baby. That's what's precipitating all of this, Austin, because what they've found is that they've got to find a way that the person can make enough money they'll make more money than they would having the state give them free stuff. That's why they're raising it up so much, because the state of California is broke. So let's just pass a law that makes everybody pay their employees more money so more people want to go out and get a job. That's what this is all about. This has nothing to do with trying to help the poor or the needy. This has everything to do with trying to bail California out of this massive socialist welfare state it's turned into, with tens of millions of illegals out of Mexico that have poured into that state and are basically working and taking all of the other jobs, or they're basically getting subsidies from the government. It's a huge mess, son. And California is a mess. I mean, that place is so secular and so twisted, it's unbelievable how messed up that place is.
Well, yeah, and that's, I mean, I watched that article a few months back. There was a whole, you know, a whole expose on the whole scandal that's going through not just California, but Arizona, New Mexico, and everything. And so what a lot of these females have is they'll work a part-time job just enough to pay in income tax so they can file a tax return. And then what they do is they claim all these kids, even kids that don't even live with them, most of them live in Mexico, they'll put 9, 10, 12 kids on their tax return as dependents. And so they'll work a job part-time, make $5,000, $10,000 that year part-time with a job, and then they'll file their tax return, and with all the subsidies and the child stimulus packages over there and everything else with the income tax refund check, it'll end up being $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in a refund check. If you don't believe me, look it up online. It's nuts. And they actually did interviews, and they went to a lot of these residents that were getting these like $30,000 refund checks, and there'd be like one or two kids living there. That's it. That's all. Like one or two kids living in this residence. They were all filing all these kids back home that didn't even live there. And so you're right. It's a huge scam, and there's no way that we can continue this path without having a massive reform on that, and also to completely changing the IRS laws, especially for law-abiding individuals that are really trying to work, and getting rid of these loopholes that people can make $30,000, $40,000 a year for doing absolutely nothing. It doesn't work.
This is Cloward Piven. Okay, from this is the Columbia yeah. professors who decided that they were going to show people how to overthrow the United States government by overwhelming the social welfare system back in the 60s. These were communists. This is what they are. And they've been doing the same thing now for the last 50 years. And what they've done is they've overwhelmed the social welfare system. They've completely abused what was set up to try to help people that were really in need, like people who were disabled or who had mental issues or whatever, has now become a major, major problem, which all these people are just saying, we want free stuff, give us free stuff. We know you can give us free stuff, give us more free stuff. Now we want $15 an hour to flip burgers or to pull weeds or to whatever. I mean, $15 an hour over $30,000 a year, a lot of teachers in a lot of states don't even make that with a four-year college degree. And what's going to happen is California has seen the handwriting on the wall trying to get rid of the welfare state, but this isn't going to help, because now what's going to happen is more and more businesses are going to go out of business, more and more people are going to close their businesses, more and more people are going to basically leave the state of California, and so the revenue stream they were hoping to get from this is going to get less and less and less. I mean, it's going to be a big mess. That's the problem when you have all of these government subsidies and you start giving away the shop. Because remember, all of these Hollywood stars and all of these people out there in California who always like to talk all this smack about what they want to do and how they want to help people, these guys are living in 30 and 40,000 square foot mansions, some of them. Like Oprah Winfrey. I'm going to give $1 million away. Well, my God, she's worth billions of dollars. She gives $1 million away. It's like one of you guys losing a quarter right now who's listening to the show. I mean, it's nothing to her. See, it's like a joke to her to give away a few $100,000. It really is. And so the sad part about it is she's got that much money, but she's not taking those billions of dollars and giving it to the poor. I mean, she doesn't need that kind of money. She could take billions of dollars and save $100 million. She could maintain her own lifestyle with $100 million easily, and she could give all the rest of that money away to people who don't want to work. That's what she could do. The problem is she's not going to do that. Neither is Angelina Jolie, neither is Brad Pitt, neither is George Clooney, and the list goes on and on and on. Neither is Jim Carrey. They're not going to do that, Austin. They live in their Hollywood mansions, they pay their income tax, they have these incredible lifestyles, and they say everybody's a giveaway, 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 but they don't give it away. In fact, a lot of these guys, when you look at their tax returns as far as money they've given to nonprofits, usually they don't give anything, or it's like less than 1%. So it's a joke to me that these guys come out and they're for this big communist welfare state, which has been brought to us by the communists right out of Germany and out of the Soviet Union from the early 1900s. And we got this big mess that they tried to warn us about back in the 50s when we had the the guy who was the McCarthy hearings, he was saying how all of these folks had come over from Russia and from Germany, and they were part of the Communist Party. They were card-carrying members of the Communist Party. They had infiltrated Hollywood, taken it over, and they were promoting all of this stuff on the big screen. And this is how they completely subverted our culture and destroyed us, because they took the very freedom that we had in the United States, and they used it against us to completely destroy the culture. And now they're telling us we don't vote anymore, that our votes don't mean anything, that it doesn't matter who we vote for. I mean, this country is getting really, really ripe, Austin, for a massive, massive, massive restoration of the Constitution and to throw these bums out of office. It's getting really close to that. I'd never recommend that we have any type of armed resistance. I don't believe that's necessary. I believe that's going to go really negative for the people of the United States. But I believe we need to get rid of all of these elected officials, and we need to get rid of that damnable Rothschild banking cartel that came here in 1913 that has caused 90% of these problems in the United States. That whole thing needs to be nationalized, and those guys need to be put in jail or hung or strung up or tried for treason or shipped out of our country. And this is the problem that we have. This is what Ron Paul tried to tell everybody. I've tried to tell everybody. When you got rid of sound money and you went to this fiat currency and they started doing this and playing with this stuff, there's quadrillions of dollars in the international currency market that floats around every single day. This is such a nightmare what they've done and how they've used it to completely and totally disrupt the way of America and the way of the world, and how they use it to manipulate and control the entire population of the planet, or are trying to. Russia's fighting against them pretty hard. So's France. The problem with France is they're awful over there. I mean, that's one of the worst countries I've ever visited, especially in the major cities like Paris. It's almost all Muslim, number one. And number two, they French people in Paris really hate everybody, including other French people, including Americans and everybody else. But when you get into the outer parts of France, in the old areas where the wine vineyards and stuff are, the people are so nice. But the problem is, it's basically a communist country, and it's completely failed. And it's got people exiting all over the place because they were trying to raise the top income tax bracket to 100% because it's communism. I mean, what's the incentive to work? What is the incentive to work if you're paying 100% of everything you make? That's what's so stupid about communism and socialism. They soon don't realize that everybody quits working once they realize they don't have to work to make ends meet, and they get just as much money when they don't work. Then everybody has no incentive. Let me tell you a story, Austin. This is good. This is interesting. I've never talked about this on the air. This happened to me one time on an airplane flight coming back from Dallas, Texas. And I was with the Peter Lowe Organization. This is back in the success days 20 years ago, as far as success seminars. And I came back on this airplane flight, and I couldn't get upgraded to first class. I didn't have enough points, and I didn't have platinum status with American yet. And so I was sitting in the back because I refused to buy first class tickets because they were like $2,000, and the coach seats were like $250 back then. And I thought, what a waste of money that is. It's only a two-hour flight. So I had spoken in Dallas at a big convention there. I think we were the Reunion Arena or one of the other places. I think it was Reunion Arena. I had 17,000 people in attendance. And I got on the plane, and I remember I put my bag up closer to first class. They put me in the back of the plane by the toilet, which is always special. And what has happened is when you get off the plane, you got to literally wait for 10 or 15 minutes sometimes for everybody to get their luggage and get off. It's awful. And so what I did is right before we landed, about 15 minutes before we landed, I walked up to where my bag was, and sure enough, in the bulkhead section, there was a lady sitting there by herself with an empty seat on both sides of her. And I'll never forget this. I said to her, I said, ma'am, do you mind if I sit down? I'm in the back of the plane. My bags are up here, and I'd really like to be able to get off the plane more quickly. She goes, absolutely, have a seat. So I said, thank you. So we had like 15, 20 minutes before the seatbelt lights came on, all that stuff, before we started landing and the gear came down. And I'll never forget this, Austin. You may not remember this, but this is what happened. So I'm sitting there talking to her. So I'm being nice to her because, you know, she's being cordial to me. And I asked her, I said, what do you do for a living? She goes, well, I don't do anything for a living. And she's like in her mid-30s. And I said, wow. I said, well, you must be retired. She goes, no. She goes, I'm disabled. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I couldn't tell there's anything wrong. She goes, well, I have rheumatoid arthritis. And I said, well, you know, rheumatoid arthritis is, you know, really easy to get rid of. And I said, it's just simple. I mean, it's really, she's probably closer to 40. And I said, all you have to do is cut out the nightshade variety of vegetables, cut out the potatoes, the eggplant, the bell peppers, the white potatoes, and just get off all of that stuff, get off anything that's acidic forming in your body, and start taking omega-3 fats. I started giving her other stuff. She goes, I don't want to do that. And I said, well, why? She goes, well, I like having my disability checks come in every month, and if I don't have a problem with rheumatoid arthritis anymore, then I won't be able to have my disability checks come in. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I'll never forget what she said. She goes, And she goes, she asked, told me what I did. I asked her what I did. I told her I just done a seminar with President Bush and those guys in Dallas. And she goes, oh, so you're one of those guys. I said, well, I don't know what you mean by that, but, you know, I'm a hard worker. And she goes, well, that's nice. And I said, well, do you have any children? She goes, well, yes, I have another son, one son. He's like 21 years old, and he's on full disability too. And I said, well, why is he on disability? Well, he has AIDS. And I said, okay, so you're on full disability and your son's on full disability. And I said, okay, that's okay. And I said, well, you know, there's some things that you can do to help ameliorate the symptoms of AIDS as far as nutrition, et cetera, et cetera. She goes, well, he's not interested in that either. He wants to get his welfare checks. I'm like, okay. And I looked at her and I didn't know what else to say. I kind of wanted her to be quiet at this point. I was kind of getting kind of, I couldn't even believe I'd started a conversation with her, Oz. And what I said to her next, or she said to me next, was, she goes, you don't understand something. I said, what's that? She goes, I'm one of the last of the true bleeding heart liberals. She goes, I'm a Teddy Kennedy liberal. And I said, okay. I said, what does that even mean? She goes, I believe that you should be taxed and taxed and taxed and taxed, that you should at least pay 90 to 95% of your income in taxes so you can support people like me and my son who don't work. And I looked at her and I said, why would you say something like that? I would never even work if I was making 10% of my money and, you know, and I was having to give 90% away. She goes, no. People like you, that's what you do. You work so you can give money to people like us so we don't have to work. That's how life's supposed to be. That's how the system's supposed to work. And I looked at her and I said, quite frankly, by now the seatbelt buzzers are going and, you know, and the thing's landing. I looked at her, ma'am, I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, this conversation has been very enlightening to me, but I don't want to talk to you anymore. This is just kind of getting real negative to me right now because you don't have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'll never forget this also. It was like in the latter part of the 90s. And I thought to myself, this is unbelievable. This lady really believes what she says. She really believes that because she doesn't want to get past the rheumatoid arthritis, because she doesn't want to get better, because she's found a way to manipulate the system, because she's found a way to get her son to manipulate the system, that she should not have to work the rest of her life and that everybody else should support her. Now, guys, listen to me. As God is my witness, I've told that story as close to accurate as I possibly can because it's been, you know, 18, 19 years ago. But in jest, that is exactly what happened. Austin, you remember when I came back and told you this story?
Oh, I remember when you came home off that flight. I remember how irritated you were. You're almost just, you didn't really even know how to respond to it. You're like, this is just bizarre.
but no, this is what we have, though. This is the Cloward Piven mentality. And I mean, I could tell you stories, like so many stories like that, being on the airplanes and talking to these weirdos. She was the one that stuck out above everybody else. And I thought to myself, what a nutbag. What an absolute nutbag that this lady actually believes this. And it wasn't like she thought it was okay. She believed it. She was willing to fight for it, argue about it, and start yelling on the airplane. And I thought, wow, this is unbelievable that I've actually chosen this seat, this day, this time, whatever. And here I am on the plane trying to save money, trying not to fly first class because I won't pay the extra for the tickets. It's a waste of money. Sitting in the back by the toilet the whole flight, watching people, you know, stumble to get to the toilet, standing by me while they're using the bathroom. And I think to myself, this is like a nightmare. I can't believe I'm living like this on this plane like this. And it's awful. But it beats driving to Dallas from where I am. Because usually I try to get a seat closer to the front because I was flying so much back then because I was on that seminar circuit. You know, I was gone all the time. You remember that. And many times we would take the RV and we would drive and you'd go with us or mom would be with me and I would have to be alone. And I enjoyed those because, you know, we could stop and see a few attractions here and there. But the point was this, you know, I knew that I needed to get home. That's why I flew on that airplane. And I thought to myself, this is unreal that this lady really, really believes this. I'm one of the last of the true bleeding heart, Teddy Kennedy bleeding heart liberals. And she was sincere when she said what she said. And this is what's taken over our government. This is what's taken over our country. This is what's taken over a lot of the planets, a lot of the countries on the, in the planet. And sooner or later, we're going to realize that this giant social welfare state does not work at all. When you take away people's incentive to work and to keep what you get, what they earn, after a point in time, after you take enough of their stuff away using a gun, because remember, this is not a metaphor. This is what the IRS does. If you don't do what they tell you to do, and I pay all of my taxes every single year, probably paying more than I'm supposed to pay. If you don't do what they tell you to do, they come to your home, they start taking stuff. And if you still don't listen to them, they seize your accounts. If you still don't listen to them, they come and they haul you away by gunpoint and they take you to jail. So we're forced by gunpoint to comply with the wishes of these socialists to do what they want us to do, when they say to do it, and how they say to do it. And the sad part about all of this is we've become sheeple, because remember, the IRS was founded at the same time the Federal Reserve was, because they had to have an enforcement branch of the Rothschild banking cartel, which is based out of Puerto Rico, to come in and seize and take your stuff. And see, it's sad. because the vast majority of the population would be a lot better off like they were back in 1912 before the Federal Reserve Act, before IRS happened, as far as being able to accrue income, being able to give it to your children when you die, be able to have it transfer without inheritance and taxes and all this stuff. But that was all part of the social welfare system. That's all part of the communist plank, is to make sure that when you die, all of your stuff goes back to the state and nobody gets to inherit your stuff, because they don't want you to become independently wealthy or your family to become independently wealthy and not be part of this system that they've got us enslaved into. That's what it's all about. So now they're telling us that our votes don't even count, because remember, in 1933, the United States was bankrupt. It pretty much filed bankruptcy. And it went to the creditors, which was the Rothschild banking cartel that had set us up 20 years earlier to have this happen. Then in 1934, they seized all of the gold in the United States. They raised billions of dollars overnight by revaluating the gold, which funded the exchange stabilization fund, which then at that point in time has now been funded through the black ops of the CIA and the drug importation out of Afghanistan. And that is the shadow government that owns and runs the treasury of the United States that has taken over our country. That is what's happening. And they don't want somebody like Trump going in, Austin, and all of a sudden figuring this crap out, which he probably already knows this stuff, and start racking off by the mouth and saying this stuff, because they don't want their system to come broken down. This is exactly what happened with Jesus when the Jews had him crucified before Pontius Pilate. They knew that this guy was a troublemaker, he was a rabble-rouser, and he was telling the truth. And they did not want the truth to be out there and to have this revolt start and have the Romans come in and take their stuff away and mess up their lifestyle. And yet, 60 years after that all happened, or 30 years after that happened, after Jesus' crucifixion and ascension, they ended up losing the temple anyhow, and it was all torn to the ground. Because, they were scattered. Because the craziest thing about this is, it never works. When you comply with tyranny and you comply with these things and these people, what they tell you to do, when you know that it's wrong, sooner or later, they don't care about you complying anymore. They want to lock you up, put you away, or have you killed. That's what's going on all over the world now. Look what happened to Greece. Look what happened to Greece. Iceland was a perfect example of what can be done. Little country of 600,000, 700,000 people. Finally said, we've had enough of this. Bankers, get out. We're zeroing out everybody's debt. We're starting over again. We're not doing this, and we're not playing this game with you guys. We've had enough of this mess. See, that's what we have to do in the United States. We have to say, look, let's get these bums out of Congress. Let's get anybody who's running against anybody, unless they're a good representative and you know who they are, needs to be replaced, especially the House, because they control the money strings. And we need to figure out what is left of our Constitution, find out what rights. Now we find out we have no rights to even vote anymore. So if we can do this in the aggregate, and we can stand behind Donald Trump, and we can call up the GOP representatives and say, don't do this. But remember, the vast majority of the guys, probably over 50%, well over 50% in Washington, D.C., are homosexual pedophiles who like to screw little boys and have all this dirt on them in Washington. And they're all part of the good old boy system and the corruption of the politics that is the New World Order and the satanic cartel that's taking over the planet through Skull and Bones, through the Rothschild banking cartel, through the Club of Rome, through the Council of 300, through the Bilderberger Group, through the Catholic Church, through all of these different organizations. And that's how they're doing it. It's a giant spider web which has taken over everything. And in the middle of all that's going to be the giant AI that controls everything. And the person controlling the AI is going to be Lucifer. That's what they want. And then going to want to bring in a one-world religion in which we all worship Lucifer and we bow our knee to Baal. I tell you what, they're building altars to Baal all over the world. Are you kidding me? I covered this last night. They're going to build over 1,000 altars and arches to Baal from the Baal temple for Moloch. That's what they're doing right now. They want to bring this entity back to this planet. And they want us to all start worshiping him. We've already sacrificed 58 million babies on the altar of Baal. I will not bow my knee to Baal. I will not do this. And my family will not. I will not allow it. But see, we've all got to stand like that. We've got to stand in the aggregate. I'm sorry I've been ranting, Austin, but doggone, this stuff really makes me angry. And plus, I had a purple.
No, you're extremely correct on it. That's why I was letting you go with it. I mean, you definitely hit some pretty valid points. I did want to hit a couple GMOs articles I got here to keep everybody up to date. The FDA now has just gotten slapped with a lawsuit for approving the genetically modified salmon, which I'm really glad somebody's finally pitching a fit about this. Controversy over genetically engineered salmon has intensified last week as a broad coalition of environmental, consumer, commercial, and recreational fishing organizations have filed a lawsuit against the FDA over safety and environmental concerns surrounding its approval of the fish, the Food and Water Watch, along with the Center for Food Safety and the Center for Biological Diversity, are joined by a number of other organizations in the Lawsuit Coalition, which issued a statement on the litigation. They said, in approving the GE salmon, FDA determined it would not require labeling of the genetically altered fish to let consumers know what they were buying, which led Congress to call for labeling in the 2013 spending bill. FDA has also ignored comments from nearly 2 million people opposed to the approval because the agency failed to analyze and prevent the risk to wild salmon and the environment, as well as the fishing communities, including the risk that GE salmon could escape and threaten endangered wild salmon stocks. And it goes on here, it says the FDA's decision is unlawful as it is irresponsible, said senior attorney for the Center of Food Safety and Plaintiff. This case is about protecting our fisheries, our ocean ecosystem, from foreseeable harms from the first ever genetically modified fish, harms FDA refused to even consider, let alone prevent. But it's not about the future of our food. FDA should not and cannot responsibly regulate this GE animal, nor any future GE animals, by treating them as drugs under the 1938 law. And that's what they did. That 1938 law requires anything that's basically being altered or used in testing that's altered be classified as a drug. That's what they did. The FDA approved this fish. It's actually classified as a drug. If you look it up on their paperwork, this GMO salmon, they use like three or four different fish DNA to create this fish. And it's a frankenfish. That's what it is. There's no way possible that we have any idea of the long-term ramifications, and people are sick of it. So I'm glad the FDA is getting slapped with a big old lawsuit. Whether or not it goes anywhere, who knows? But if enough people like you guys bring this up to local Congress, to local mayors, everybody, people are going to start realizing that this is not a joke. We do not want genetically engineered salmon, especially fish that won't even be labeled on the packaging. You're not even going to know what you're eating. But on a side note, along with GMOs, this is pretty positive. Multinational ConAgra now will be labeling all of its products with genetically modified ingredients, as the GMO bill in Vermont is requiring now. It seems to be growing daily. The multinational ConAgra is now joining General Mills, Mars, and Kellogg's as a company which will label its products if they contain genetically modified ingredients. With Vermont's mandatory GM labeling bill going into effect this summer, this is a decision more and more companies are going to have to make, and make it soon. And it's interesting, because I was reading this article, and there's all these companies now that are, dude, they're, everybody's getting in line. And what's going to happen is, see, it's too difficult to start trying to make different brands for different states and try to make different packaging and make sure they all go to the same state. It's much more cost efficient for these companies to list it on their packaging because, I mean, Vermont gets, you know, large amount of products. So this is pretty cool. This is interesting. That Vermont bill is having more positive effects than I think anybody expected, and it's causing a lot of companies now basically forcing them to comply, or else they're either going to completely lose out market share in Vermont, which more than likely is going to spread to other states now anyways with these GMO bills. So I hope it gets more traction. I hope more companies start following suit, because they really don't have an option right now if they want to do anything in Vermont.
Well, here's the problem, and this is why they're doing this. It has nothing to do with your safety, my safety, or the consumer's safety. They don't care.
Oh,
they don't
no.
care about you, me, Hunter, Lana, any of our children, any of us. They don't care. What they care about is what happened to Chipotle. Chipotle said they were GMO-free, and they had sodas in there that had GMO corn syrup. And all of a sudden, slam, they start getting all these lawsuits that they were basically misleading the consumers and they had lied. And so they don't want that to happen to them. So they're going to tell us what they're feeding us now, or they're going to get sued. And then if we, somebody tests the product and it is GMO, then they're going to get sued if it's not disclosed. And they know that. This is exactly what happened back in the 70s and in the 80s, Austin, with immunizations. And almost all of the immunization companies that were building these vaccines were going out of business because the Trial Attorneys Association had gotten together and basically said, screw this, they're killing all of us with these stupid shots. We're going to start suing the crap out of these people. And billions and billions and billions of dollars in lawsuits were filed. And so these guys were all folded up left and right because the trial attorneys were doing all these double-blind studies showing that it was killing everybody and causing all these damages to all these kids. That's why billions of dollars have been paid out in vaccine injuries by the federal government. And then finally, Reagan said, they told him, well, you know, now all the vaccine manufacturers are going to be out of business. As far as I'm concerned, good riddance. But we have to give them blanket immunity so they can't be sued by the trial attorneys. It's one of the only things the trial attorneys ever did right. They went after these lowlife. And they were going to put them out of business, or they're going to make them clean it up and make them do double-blind clinical studies before they started injecting this mess into the children. And then Reagan came in and gave them all blanket immunity and said, you guys, we're going to protect you because we want to make sure that our vaccine manufacturers stay in business. So not only did he protect them, he let them do whatever they wanted to do as far as manufacturing new vaccines without even proper approval, Austin. And even if they get busted for not properly testing it, it doesn't matter. They're lawsuit exempt. It doesn't matter. Yep. They can inject any crap they want to put in us at any time they want, no matter what they put in us, and it doesn't matter how many people they kill, they can't be sued. I mean, this doesn't even make any sense. It's like Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. Who does stuff like that? And Reagan did that. He gave them carte blanche vaccine exemption, no lawsuits. Kill as many as you want. It doesn't make any difference how many children you maim or hurt. We don't care. We're going to put a vaccine recovery fund together to pay the billions of dollars out for all these children that are permanently brain damaged. And you guys have fun and have another 250 vaccines in your pipeline. Are you joking me? And now they're trying to pass mandatory legislation in states like California and Ohio, all over the place, trying to force children to have vaccines or not even be allowed in the school system. Not only are they giving them complete and total exoneration from any lawsuits, now they're enforcing it by law. The same thing they did with the health insurance companies with Obamacare. I mean, it was always going to lower everybody's premiums. Everybody's going to be able to get what they want. Everybody's going to be able to keep their doctor. No, it's not. It was written by the insurance companies for the insurance companies to massively increase profits, which is what it has done. And the sad part about all of this is when they made health insurance required by law, the manufacturers of the health insurance, the providers of the health insurance knew they could charge whatever they wanted to charge, Austin, and you had to do it by law. It's complete and total tyranny. It's complete nonsense. It's as bad as the stupid vaccines. There. That's me on a purple stick.
Well, and then that's why we've seen such a massive uproar from all these companies making sure that Robert De Niro did not let that film be seen at his independent movie festival. This is why. You start digging down and you start realizing what really happened, especially when Reagan passed that Vaccine Protection Act, and you start looking at all this stuff. You realize why they don't want this evidence getting shown. That MMR vaccine that they covered up to the CDC is some of the most horrific evidence in history of vaccines, and the fact that the federal government allowed the CDC to do that to its own citizens of this country and did nothing about it, that right there should tell everybody that vaccines are not what they thought of, they are not safe, they are not what they are expecting them to do, they are not something you need to have injected into your body. Like you said, if they had a company that actually came about and did
buddy, we are out of time. Thank you guys so much for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for signing for our newsletter, healthmasters.com. God bless you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. You have a blessed night.
You bet, you guys. Thank you.